Hey, girl, hey, welcome back. It's Wake Up with Taylor and Cosby, Radio Sirius XM 109. I'm Taylor, that's Kenny. Hey, Mr. Beers.
Hi, Taylor.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
I feel so romantical right now.
There is a lot of love in this room.
There is.
And wine.
Yes, well, what makes Valentine's Day more Valentine's Day-y and romantic and, well, might I say delicious, than some nice wine? So right now we have Dan Amatuzzi. Whoa, I got it. I nailed it. He is the beverage director of Eataly, my favorite place in New York City,
cool.
As well as founder of Wine for the Student.
Yeah.
What up with that?
Yeah, it's just a website blog devoted to education about wine.
And, love it.
Keeps it simple, keeps it fun.
You know, I feel like in Europe, there is like a real appreciation for wine and for the compliments of wine with food. And it's something that exists in this country, but it's not as widespread as maybe there.
It's not.
And I think that's, I think that culturally, it is unsophisticated that we don't know more, and we should.
You know, we're unsophisticated, but we're also fearless.
Right.
You know, we're not afraid to break barriers, not afraid to try new things.
That's true.
In Europe, tradition kind of blocks that, so it's got its ups and its downs.
Well, yeah. I'm happy that you are educating, because I think that not enough people, you know, if I see one more box of wine at a party, I'm going to scream.
Well, I drink a lot, so I should do something about it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and the website, right on the top of the website, it says, Wine for the Student, your unpretentious stop for all things wine. I think pretension keeps certain people that would love wine out of getting to know it.
That's a good point.
You got to keep it simple.
Right, but just because you're not pretentious with wine doesn't mean you have to drink crap wine.
No. In fact, you should not drink crap wine.
No.
It really blocks the whole process. If you drink crap wine, you're not really going to learn how grapes should taste or where they're from or learn anything really that you should know.
Right. Knowing about wine, it's important. I do think there is, like, it's like art. People are like, oh, you buy art, you must be a snob. Oh, you know what a Nebbiolo is? Mm. You're an asshole.
Mm, enchanté.
But, seriously, I mean, it's not like that. I think that it's important to understand wine. It's a beautiful thing. What a fun, people always say, what's your hobby? I believe wine is my hobby.
Good.
And
good.
I like that hobby.
Good.
I think wine is romantic.
I think you're really good at it, too.
I'm awesome at that hobby.
Yeah,
I dominate the hobby.
When I walk here from Grand Central, I step over a lot of guys sleeping in boxes that claim wine is their hobby, too.
Well, it is this interesting thing, wine, because, you know, it has many different faces. It can be a problem. It can be romantic.
Yeah.
It can be sophisticated. It can be, you know, if you're living in a box, kind of trashy.
Right.
So it has all these different, you know, if you're drinking out of a box, it can kind of be gross. So I just think that it has these many different faces, and we should only let it in the good way.
Yeah, they say it can't be everything to everyone, but wine,
it should be.
It really is the only thing so far that is something to everyone.
I agree.
Something different to everyone.
Well, it should be something positive and good.
Yes.
Yes, which is why you're here to educate us.
Yes.
So I love Eataly, by the way.
Good,
what a fantastic.
Thank you.
And I frequent that wine shop.
Good.
Is that all you?
That's all me, yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's my staff and I.
It's awesome. Awesome. So, Valentine's Day. I feel like Valentine's Day just isn't Valentine's Day without some wine.
It definitely helps bring the spirit of love into the room. Yes.
Interesting.
So, yeah, Valentine's Day. The funny thing about Valentine's Day, in my opinion, though, is if you're a working professional, you never really get to enjoy it on the day or, you know, you got to kind of make time for it. You got to work for it a little bit. So we've created kind of four scenarios with four different wines that you can do with your significant other or with your friends anytime today, tomorrow, this weekend, whatever.
Awesome.
Cool.
Love it.
So we're going to start with Prosecco.
I love Prosecco.
And so this is kind of the wine for if you're doing brunch or like a late breakfast or anything possibly this weekend. And so Prosecco is the name of the grape. And it's also kind of the wine style. So if you say, I want a glass of Prosecco, you're asking for sparkling wine.
Right.
And it's all made in the northeastern Italy. This producer is called Enza.
Enza.
And so in all over the world, there's basically different appellations, which is kind of just like saying a zone. It's like a county or whatever. And there's rules. And so with Prosecco, there's two main towns. One's called Valdobbiadene, one's called Conegliano.
Okay.
And they're kind of like the two places you want to be when you're making Prosecco. This estate's kind of right smack dab in between the two of them. So they kind of straddle both styles, and it's a very pleasant but dry style of Prosecco.
Oh, I like dry.
Have you been there? Have you visited?
I have not been to Prosecco yet.
Okay.
I'd like to go, though.
Huh.
It's cool because it's kind of it's northern Italy, so you think of Italy as like this beautiful Mediterranean country, but it's pretty cool up in the Veneto. When you make sparkling wine, you actually want like this cool, kind of damp climate to make these really crisp grapes.
So wait, Prosecco is actually a place?
The two towns.
Right.
But Prosecco's not a place, no.
No.
It's a grape.
Prosecco is a planet. I'm just kidding.
Okay. It's a universe.
So is Prosecco the universe? So wait, so if you get Prosecco and it's not from Italy, though, it's not Prosecco, right? This is where I get confused.
It could be the grape. It could be the name of the grape. I've actually never seen Prosecco from outside Italy. Though.
I don't know if I have either. I'm just wondering, you know, because sometimes
it's possible, though. It's
it can't
possible.
Be champagne if it's not from a certain
exactly.
region technically, but I'm sure that people break that rule all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, countries are like signing legislation with France to like kind of abide by it, but there's certain countries that haven't done it yet. So you might still find sparkling wine called champagne that comes from outside France.
Who's like the wine boss? Like who's in charge?
That's the funny thing. There's no, it's like international powers still kind of like, there's no real world police of wine.
Right. So you just really have to know your shit.
You just got to go with it, you know?
Okay, so this is the Prosecco.
But the thing about Prosecco, good smell, by the way.
Thank you.
Swirl it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It smells really good.
Some people kind of have a thing against Prosecco just because it's too fruity or too sweet. But the best wine.
That's what people say about me.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe right now.
Yeah, I'm just a little too fruity.
You want that fruit, you want that peach and pear and kind of this nice tropical flavor, but
right.
you still want it to be dry and crisp, and that's the sign of a good Prosecco.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
Don't forget to slurp, too, really.
It oxygenizes it.
Very good.
What up?
This isn't overly sweet.
Not at all. It's perfect. Well, you really suck. You're a good sucker.
I can hold my own.
Is that how you got the job? That you came in, tasted the wine, like, this guy can suck.
I took away, I blew away the competition.
Oh, that's good.
Whoa.
I sound like a bong.
Longest slurp in history.
I breathe in the middle, I cheated. Wow, that's delicious.
Tastes fresh. So this is like if you got pancakes, waffles, omelets, even just toast or fruit, because it's low in alcohol, but the carbonation kind of keeps you... up, Sprite-y. You're not going to, like, fall asleep again. Or
right.
Would you recommend that using this for mimosas?
You could do this for mimosas, bellinis, whatever you'd like. Yeah,
awesome.
It's best enjoyed on its own, but you could definitely use it for any culinary or cocktail
that could be for, like, a sexy breakfast in bed after Valentine's Day, you know, over the weekend.
Totally.
I like that. Okay, Dan, what do we have next?
Next, we're going to, if you're just making lunch or dinner at home, so kind of a home-cooked meal, we're going to the Red. This is the from California. It's Joseph Carr is the winery. So it started in 2005. Joseph Carr is like this legend in the wine world. He was a sommelier. He was a wine merchant. And in 2005, he went on his own. He started his own label, Joseph Carr, in Napa Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And so they make Merlot, Chardonnay, and then this wine, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good expression of Cab because I like them where there's like that nice, rich fruit character. There's a lot of body, but it's not over the top. Sometimes
right.
you get too much alcohol, you get too much fruit, too much oak.
Right.
And you really can't pair those wines with food too well. You can if it's like a rich, meaty red steak, because it's kind of like this bloody steak and a heavy dish.
Yeah.
But you want to kind of, the secret to food and wine is very simple. I've worked for like 7 or 8 years with food and wine. This is it. You want to pair wines with foods that share equal intensity and equal weight. So light food, light wine.
Right.
Heavy food, heavy wine. Mm-hmm. That's it. It could be white, red, sparkling. No need to make
So just because you're having fish doesn't mean you necessarily have to have white. You just need a light red.
You need a light red, yeah.
Okay.
Or sparkling wine. But something that's just not going to... The weight of the wine, meaning how intense it feels in your mouth, how heavy it is. You just don't want that to crush all the flavors and all the textures of the food.
Right.
So this is a great wine for that purpose. You could do pasta, you could do chicken, you could do steak, fish, whatever
fish?
You like.
Really?
Any kind of grilled fish or even like a baked fish, but something a little bit more tender, something a little bit heavier.
Right.
But it's nice. Cab's always has this nice blackberry, plum, cherry fruit. But I really like this wine too because they age the wine in two different types of oak, which is kind of cool. So oak, the whole, we talk about wine and kind of think, how do we dissect it? There's like a whole nother world of like oak barrels.
Right.
Which is
I always
crazy.
Thought that was a Chardonnay thing.
It's for all wines.
I didn't know that.
Wines. And it depends where they come from, if they're big, if they're small, if they're used, if they're new. But he uses, for this wine, American oak and French oak.
Ooh.
So he's getting these like creamy caramel vanilla nuances from French oak. And then the American oak kind of actually adds these little dill and sometimes even coconut flavors.
Cool!
If you ever have Spanish wine, especially Rioja, they specialize in American oak. And so there's always these coconut and really pickly things going on.
I love Rioja. That's why, I guess.
So when you're working for a restaurant, which you do, and as a sommelier, and you're trying to pair up wines with food, what's your method for doing that? Do you like you use what you know and you say, I think this might go, and give it a shot?
It's a combination of that, what I think would go, but it's also asking questions, say, what do you normally like to drink? Because at the end of the day, it's really about them or who they are and what they're, who, and we want to please them. So We take what they normally like to drink, even if they don't know it. So do you like them big and rich and heavy? Do you like them light, earthy, and dry?
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
I have a question, Dan. Every time you take a sip of wine, do you do that whole swish, pull, smack thing? Every single sip?
I might inadvertently, maybe. I don't. Maybe sometimes.
Like to have dinner with you? Is it like this?
If it's a 2-hour dinner, I'm slurping and doing that for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, the eating.
So we only need like a 1/2 hour of conversation. Yeah.
I do the same thing, so that would be really fun. We could do it together.
This one's great. This is real nice.
It's nice, so right? Good.
Yeah.
I like it too. You get a little zippiness in the back of your cheeks. That's acidity. Acidity is also very good in wine. It helps break down food and everything like that.
It's kind of a romantic wine too. It feels like.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about
which
it.
Which horny? I'm feeling horny. Yeah. Who's feeling horny? Raise your hand.
Yeah, it's nice. Pretty horny.
And one of the problems with Napa is that it gets very expensive very quickly. But this isn't that bad. This is $19.99.
So you know, I went on this very good. Weird mental boycott of Napa. I don't know why, but I'm back in. Good, I'm back good. In Napa. I was like, I'm not drinking any wine from California. My husband's like, why? I was like, because. He's like, okay. I will say, I was I like reds that are. I went through this thing where it was all about like Sangiovese. And like big, bold, super Tuscans. And I had this wine recently, and I have no idea what it's called, but it was like leathery and cigar smoky, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I went into Italy to the wine shop, and I was like, I would like, and the people that were helping me were fantastic. And I was like, I'm thinking like leathery and smoky, and they were helping me. And some customer, some freaking patron was like mocking me. Why was he mocking me?
The nerve.
Why? Is that like a weird thing to say in the wine world? Leathery and smoky?
No, that's actually point on. Leathery and smoky.
He was like, ha, 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 ha. He looked just like Liam Neeson, but it wasn't Liam Neeson, because I bet he's nicer than this man. But I was like, son of a bitch. I almost threw down your wine strap, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I give you permission to do so next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes people act that way out of fear or ignorance or...
Yeah, like I was like, am I making something else? Like
that was deep.
Yeah, I know.
No, if you think a wine tastes like shoelaces and dirt, then go for it.
Right.
Ask for that.
Well, I was by like the Monte Montalcino, Montepulciano area, and that's what I was asking for in regard to that. So I was like, am I completely off base here?
No, that's actually point on, especially the grape Sangiovese, which is used for Montalcino wines.
Uh-huh.
As it ages, it always takes on these cowhide and leather flavors.
So. Damn, why was he mocking me?
He was full of fear.
I'm gonna weed this guy out. I'm gonna find him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check the cameras.
You can check because I paid with my credit card, so the person that paid right before me, that's the guy.
I'm gonna call up Liam Neeson, do the whole wine. He's gonna take him out. No problem.
My name is Dan. I have a very special set of skills.
I drink a lot.
We'll okay, Dan. Right. What else do we have going on?
So we're actually gonna stay in California, but we're gonna go to a white.
Okay.
And so this is kind of a social happy hour with your friends, girls or guys, whatever you're doing. You come over to an apartment, then you're going out later. So we want a white wine, and I like white wines for this purpose because they're fresh. You know, sometimes those red wines, the tannin, which is found in the skins and it's in the red wine, it kind of can make you sleepy or kind of like groggy. So white wines, to me, always kind of keep me up and ready to go. So this is a producer called Girard, also from Napa Valley.
Okay.
And this is their white wine, Sauvignon Blanc. So they also make Chardonnay and some other red wines, but this is their 100% Sauvignon Blanc from Napa. And
smells really sweet.
We would pair this with kind of like meats and cheeses or some other finger foods because the acidity, which we talked about in the last one, but acidity is that tingling you get in the side of your cheeks, the back of your cheeks.
Yep.
Those are natural grape acids, tartaric acids, and they help kind of cut through everything, be it the proteins and fats of like cured meats or also the creaminess of cheeses. And so any kind of nibble foods you have, white wines always kind of just clean your palate but keep you going.
So is there like a lot of pear in this? Is that what I'm tasting?
Absolutely, yeah. Sauvignon Blanc's pear and kiwi and grapefruit.
I close my eyes so as to try to isolate my tongue a little more and figure out what was going on, but Taylor beat me to it.
And like a little bit of...
grapefruit. I taste the grapefruit.
She's quick.
You do taste grapefruit, and it's a little bit... And I'm going to say this now that I'm going to get myself in trouble, but like, there's a smoothness that reminds me of butter.
Very good. Very good. In fact, on the back of the label, I believe.
I'm not reading it. I swear to God.
No,
she can't.
No,
she can't read.
I'm blind.
You said
and I can't read. I'm illiterate.
This is probably going to be the most scientific thing we talk about today. But we should touch on it. It's called malolactic fermentation.
Malolactic fermentation.
So there's alcoholic fermentation, which is just grape juice, add yeast, you get wine. But malolactic fermentation is a process. They transfer the acids. So it goes from... malic acid, which is that crisp Granny Smith flavor, like really biting, into lactic acid, which is creamy and kind of dairy. So picking up on a little cream, you got a good palate, lady.
Very good palate.
Yeah, right?
It's a way to make a wine a little bit softer and rounder without putting it into oak barrels, which you know, can really drive the cost up.
Right, because I was expecting to get some oak from too, which is why I actually don't like Chardonnay, because I don't like oak that much, that strong oak. I don't know why, but I don't like something that's too, like, tart. Like you said, the granny apple, that kind of, just like, right in your face. So I like the smoothness of this. This is good.
Yeah, Girard's great wine. They've been around since 75, and now it's made, the wines are made by two men, Marco DiGiulio and Glenn Hugo. And they make, like, these great wines. Value price, this is $14.99 or $15.99, somewhere around there.
I got some cotton ball, too, in a good way. Is that right?
Yeah, very good.
Okay. That's crazy. She literally gets the feeling of butter, and you're describing a fermentation process that, like, lactic acid reminds me of lactose
exactly.
and things
cream,
like that.
Cream, dairy-based.
I didn't know I was working with a protege genius.
Respect.
You got it.
Okay, Dan, last but not least...
Last but not least is this is your late night festivities wine. This is when you've gone to a movie.
This
or
is like
show.
Back from the club.
Yeah, this is
it's
when,
like three in the morning. I'm like, let's go.
After you were in the club and you're popping a bottle, you go back and you pop another bottle. But it's the secret is this is a semi sweet, semi sparkling frizzante wine. Well, I'm not going to call it a dessert wine because it's kind of in this weird category. It toes a line between dry and sweet.
Ooh, I'm nervous. And, I'm not big on sweet.
But if you don't like it, though, it's going to do one thing. It's going to put you in the mood.
Ooh, it's going to make me feel sexy too?
Meditation or whatever you choose.
Honey, I've had so much fun dancing at the club. Let's go home and pop another bottle and meditate.
Exactly. It's not, you guys want to do that?
You know what? I think I would like to start, actually.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good soul cleansing thing. All right, so it's we're in Sicily, actually. We're going to Sicily. The producer's called Villa Pozzi. They're on Western Sicily. It's a fourth-generation family making wine, so rooted in tradition. They make red wines, white wines, and this one called Moscato. So Moscato's the grape.
It's delicious.
And it's usually made into this frizzante style, so it's semi-sweet, semi-sparkling. And we talked about alcoholic fermentation.
Yep.
And when you do fermentation, it creates carbon dioxide. If you let the carbon dioxide go, you get all the wines, the white, red wines, dry, still wines.
Right.
If you trap carbon dioxide, that's how you make sparkling wine.
Oh.
So if you trap just a little bit of it, you're going to get these wines, slightly frizzante and fizzy.
Frizzante. Okay.
I'm trying to beat Taylor to the taste, which is why I'm so focused and silent. But I'm literally seeing a piece of fruit.
It is sweet. Not like sickeningly sweet at all.
No,
but
not at all.
I'm sensitive to sweet wine. I don't know why. And I'm sure everybody, like, I couldn't say, oh, like, it's too sweet for me, so it's not a good wine. Because there's some people whose palates are more, you know, complementary to the sweet, right?
Very good. Yeah, some people just like fruit-forward wines, juicy wines, sweet wines. Some like really earthy, dry wines. And that's the beauty of wines, that there's no right or wrong answer.
I taste
like little peach.
Good. Whoa.
And like, I don't know, like soft mango.
Peach and Smurfs. I got it.
This peach is and
peach and Smurfs.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're both right on. And the cool thing is, too, this is good for chocolates or fruit, strawberries, whatever. But
really? Chocolate?
Because the effervescent, like that little carbonation kind of helps dissipate the richness and creaminess of chocolate. But it's also low in alcohol. So that sugar you're tasting is basically sugar that they never really made into wine. So we call it residual sugar. And so most dessert wines have residual sugar, but as a result, they are a little bit lower in alcohol.
So extra calories that don't get me drunk.
Yeah, unfortunately, you are.
I'm crossing it off the list.
You want wines that make you lose your will to say.
I like calories that make me like go crazy.
Yeah. Right before
but it's
you
nice. It's $9.99, $10. So it's cool for just a fun, friendly way to end the night.
You say it's for late night seduction.
Late night seduction.
I think you know. I do actually like it. I like it enough for late night seduction for sure. And I love this. Is that the pricing of these wines, they're not one bottle's over $20.
No, not at all.
And they're all good. There wasn't anything. I thought, Prosecco to me is like, you know, feels like it might hurt my stomach. That was good. And even the late night seduction wine, I feel a little seduced.
was it good for you?
Before 10, it was great for me, right, Dan.
There's 35 billion bottles of wine made every year.
35 billion?
Enough wine to make 35 billion bottles.
What percentage of that is crap shit?
A good amount, probably.
Yeah, like
25%.
Oh, I thought you were saying like 89%.
It could be. I don't drink all billions of bottles.
Right.
Point is, though, there's a lot under $20, so never be afraid to keep it under that threshold if you can do it. If you can stay under 15, better. If you can up to 30, better. But there's wines for everybody, whatever your budget.
Well, if you guys are in New York City, go to Ely because it's anything you get there is going to be delicious.
Great,
so good. It's true. And then when you're there, you get a little produce. You can go to the veggie section.
Yeah.
Maybe go over get some razor clams, the fish. I eat there like every day.
Yeah, we get a lot of guys coming asking for, where's the bourgeois? Where's the brujou? Where's the mozzarella? Huh?
Where's the brujou?
My
manico?
My cugini from Jersey come over and ask all the time, where's the brujou?
I think I sat next to him at the fish place.
He's my there every day.
My husband, he's running the marathon, or he was training for it, and he's going to run in L.A. now. So he was like, no alcohol, no red meat. That was super fun in our relationship. I was like, I hate you. Anyway, so we went to Italy, and we were at that sandwich stand.
Right.
He was like, by the way, I'm wasted. And he was like, oh my God, that steak sandwich looks insane. I was like, you quit drinking. You're going to quit on red meat now over a sandwich? He did. He blew his diet, and he was like, I've never seen him in such ecstasy before.
Oh. Good.
Ever?
Yeah, meat sandwich does that to a guy.
Yeah.
Really hits home.
It's a great place. Love Italy. Good. Love all the wine. It's fantastic. Yeah. Dan, thank you so much.
And the website, wineforthestudent.com. From what I've been checking out, it looks really great.
There's a spot on there. It's called Wines for Jackson. Just wines for under $20. So, reviews from time to time.
Just because you're not paying like $40, $60, $100 for a bottle of wine doesn't mean it's not going to be amazing.
Yeah,
and
it
that's
could be
the thing.
Real good. Especially screw caps. Don't fear the screw cap today. There's some
I
good
have
stuff.
An issue with that.
Some good stuff under screw caps.
Though. I know. I'm working on it. Well, check out the website, you guys. And Dan, thank you so much for making our Valentine's Day a little bit more intoxicated.
My pleasure.
You guys, don't go anywhere. More Valentine's Day coverage where we get back. You don't even know my name.